we've got some big guys. I tell you what, you give them ball in a good position, they can make some things happen. Oh, man, beautiful day, beautiful weather, packed house here, man. It doesn't get any better. And the thing I'm really most admire is that these kids, I mean, you got to remember now, they've been through quite a bit, yet they come and participate in this benefit game, and what a beautiful park here. And these guys are getting ready to play for a conference championship and getting ready for state championships. That speaks to the volume of the fortitude and the mindset of these kids here. And this is what Arkansas do. We support each other.
15% All right. Power. Welcome into the zone. 10:09 on this Wednesday. That was Mike Anderson last night on an extended version of Drive Time Sports. Justin Akre, Pat Bradley, of course, Wally Hall here, courtesy of our friends at Deltic Timber, and Matty T. Back there. Pretty special night last night. Over 8,000 people packed into Dickey Stevens Park to support the folks who've been affected by the tornadoes in Faulkner County. And certainly, you know, I think the other shows have done a really good job of remembering, and we probably need to do a little better job of remembering there are folks outside of Faulkner County that were affected as well. But last night was really about them, and certainly I think, you know, it's sort of I'd like to think that it extends to other folks. I mean, we're certainly thinking about everybody that's been impacted, but boy, what a turnout. What a great event. And I know, Pat, you had a chance to take your mom and sister over there last night, so that was pretty cool. Tommy got a chance to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Great job on the broadcast last night by Randy and Ray and RJ. I mean, it was really cool as they brought some stories and they interviewed coaches, and we'll hear from Coach Bielema here in a little bit as well.
Hey, I give a lot of credit to Sleepy T. He was out there the entire time waiting for his moment to shine.
Yeah.
And boy, did he shine. Well, did a fantastic job.
He did what most of us do when Craig O'Neill's around. We shrink back and let him be what he is, the showman.
That's part of it.
Yes. But, yeah, Tommy did a great job. Let's get Benji Poston here, one of the organizers of last night's event. And I heard some good news this morning on our morning show, and I know there are probably more details on the figures to come, Benji, but the bottom line is a lot of good was done last night for people who sorely needed it.
I tell you, Justin, it was. This thing turned into something bigger than any of us could have ever expected. And I tell you, just the outpouring of love and donations from the communities and the outside areas. And Channel 7, even, you know, last night, they said there were more people at the ball game combined than the combined populations of Mayflower and Bologna together.
That's pretty well.
And so over 8,000 people there. Preliminary figures are still got some things to do, but we know there's over $100,000 raised already.
Wow.
It's just a grand night for both of these communities.
$100,000 night, I would say.
$100,000 night, you're exactly right.
Is that incredible? I mean, I'm not shocked by the number of folks who turned out. I'm blown away by the donations, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I had anticipations that if we raised $50,000, we would have done really well.
Yeah.
Never expected to reach this magnitude that we did.
Yeah.
But, everybody that came through, there was a lot of $100 bills dropped in those buckets.
That's
last
so
night.
Cool. Yeah, and you're talking about completely anonymous donations, too. I mean, I think that's really cool. And, yeah, $50,000 had been a home run. I guess last night was a grand slam home run, bottom of the ninth with two outs, right?
Absolutely, it was. And, Coach Bielema there and Coach Anderson speaking to the kids before the game. And those guys did a fantastic job and stood around and signed autographs and took pictures and just did anything that we asked them to do last night. They represented the University of Arkansas well and came down and just did a great job for our kids and for our communities. And then Tommy and Craig singing the fifth inning stretch. Two legends like that up there singing together. It was just a big-time atmosphere last night. All the news stations were there. A big, huge thank you to the Buzz for doing the play-by-play. I didn't get to hear it because I was in there, but we will have a video that's coming out with that, and it also have the Buzz's overlay on that. And we'll get each of the kids one of those, and so that's going to be a big deal for them, too.
Benji, is this true? There was a kid whose nickname, they called him Kyle Fat Bradley?
Trey.
Oh, Trey Fat Bradley?
We call him Fat Trey.
Fat Trey. He loves it, apparently. That's what the coach gave Rainwater.
I know they kept
the
calling
nicknames.
Him Fat Bradley last night. I'm like, well, that kid's name is so close. And I didn't
is he fat?
Yeah.
Is he husky? He's husky, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Husky Trey? Fat Trey?
6'4", 285 pounds.
He sounds lean to
that's
me.
That's a grown man.
He sounds lean. Was he first baseman?
He's the first baseman, and he's right tackle. He's actually signed a letter of intent to play college football at Arkansas Tech.
So. Okay. Well, that's the one that got away, Coach B.
Fat Bradley.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but we lovingly call him Fat Trey.
That is beautiful. Well, Benji, hey, listen, kudos to you and the folks that put this together, too. I know you guys aren't looking for praise, but, I mean, to turn that around that quickly, and a lot of credit to the Travs, too, for making the ballpark available, getting everything together that, you know, but most people will never realize what you all did over that short period of time to get that thing together and allow a platform for people to come and donate money and be entertained at the same time. And just a really special night that was whipped together quickly, so I commend you guys. It's not easy.
No, it was. And I tell you, a huge thank you to Paul Allen and the Travs,
yeah.
Mr. Meeks there. Those guys were unbelievable to work with. They, like I said, when this thing started, we were going to have two concession stands open with 10 people total working concession stands. And Paul Allen called all of his team in. They all did that on a volunteer basis. None of them got a dime for being there last night. And they worked the concession stands. They did everything. They cleaned the park up. I tell you what, I can't say enough about the Travelers and their organization and what they did to help these two communities.
Were those concession monies donated as well? Because there was like every concession stand had like 50 people deep. I mean, it was incredible.
They will, and that's and we did not get that counted into the total last night. So all concession money will be donated also.
Oh, buddy,
that's so huge.
A lot of sodas, you know what, though? Wieners,
you're right about the Travelers. I got there, and there was a Travelers girl. You know, because the Chili's were taking donations at the gate. There was a Travelers representative right there at the gate. You couldn't walk 10 feet without seeing a Travelers representative there helping you out. What do you do? They did a good job. There was plenty of people out there helping and making things easy. For as many people that were there and for an event like that, yeah. You just don't know how it's going to go.
Well,
and so many things that, you know, loose ends, you just don't know how it's going.
Well, and they had the foresight, too, because the understanding I had, and Benji, I think you mentioned this, too, earlier in the week, that they were going to just have a or maybe two concession stands open. They decided to open them all. Thank God for that.
Yes. Yeah. But you know, those guys up in the PA booth, you know, and I thank the Travelers and I thank the two communities for letting me do PA last night, man. You know, you think those kids had a great time on the field out there? Hey, man, getting to announce from the booth at Travelers Stadium.
Yeah.
Dickie Stevens Park.
There you go.
Come on, Benji.
I had as much fun as anybody did last night.
I guarantee you. Well, it's a good thing for everybody, and certainly a lot of work to be done, but another huge step in the right direction. Benji, appreciate the time.
You know what this means, Benji?
What is it?
We need a haiku of the experience, my man. Come on. Put that brain to work.
Hey, I will get you one.
There you go.
Okay, buddy.
He's not just a bald, fat, white guy anymore. He is Benji Post, baseball charity game organizer.
Thank you guys so much for all that you did to help us out. And, go Eagles.
Hey, absolutely. Appreciate it, Benji. Thank you. And I guess we should tip our caps to Valonia, who got the win last night.
Yes, we should tip
Although
the cap.
Although the outcome of the game seemed almost irrelevant at
there
the end of the
day. There were no losers
that's,
last night.
That's exactly right. It's like I said yesterday, to quote the great Rosie Perez from White Men Can't Jump, sometimes when you win, you actually lose. Sometimes when you lose, you actually win. And sometimes when you win or lose, you actually tie, Billy. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, coming from Rosie Perez,
makes perfect
I don't
sense.
Care if it makes sense or it doesn't make sense. Just tell me whatever you want, Rosie.
That's exactly right.
She's not aged quite as well as some others.
She's aged as well as Woody Harrelson has.
Yeah, I know, huh?
But neither one of them have aged as well as Wesley Snipes has.
Would you like to
But
see
they've had a lot less tax issues with
I'd love to see a sequel. The way that ended.
I agree 100%.
Where'd she go? What'd she do? Did she run away with somebody else?
She won Jeopardy, I know that.
That'd
she was
be awesome.
A beast on the Jeopardy show. Maybe she and Ken Jennings got together. Today in the zone, in addition to talking to Wally about a few things, we are going to have Randy Moss on at 11 o'clock, a Hot Springs native and a zone favorite for sure. We'll talk a little horse racing, but this week it's all about the NFL draft, and he has double duty, NBC Sports and the NFL Network.
Yes, and I spoke to him yesterday. He is, because he's so involved in the horse racing right now this time of year, he specifically handles a lot more of, like, he's talking about the Jets and the Vikings, but we can talk to him a little bit. Obviously, the quarterbacks, Houston Texans first pick, but those are his particular teams that he focuses on.
Yeah, I'm not real astute as far as the draft goes in general because the Packers have a low pick, and I'm not paying that close of attention mostly, and partially because we don't have a lot of Arkansans that are involved. But, you know, hey, I'd love to see Chris Smith end up in
Green Bay. Well, the talk
is Green Bay.
Who's Texans going to take number one,
yep.
Right? Where Manziel's going to go,
right?
First QB taken.
How many QBs in the first round?
Pretty basic stuff. I did talk to Jordan Palmer.
Yeah.
He is working with Blake Bortles now. I don't know if you guys caught over the weekend.
I've seen a piece of him working with him.
Yeah, it's
pretty
cool.
Getting ready for the combine I saw.
Yeah, so he said he couldn't come on because I guess they're fully stocked doing football training stuff until 4 p.m. every day.
Okay.
He would have come on. He said
– could tape one.
Yeah. You know, the Aggies could have three players taken in the top 10.
Who's the third?
Evans,
I know they got the lineman.
Menzel.
Oh, and Evans. I forgot. Mike Evans. Mike Evans, yeah.
I'd take Evans.
Yeah, he's a monster. Yeah. Would you take Evans over Sammy Watkins, though?
Probably not.
I wouldn't either, but I'd put him right behind him. Yeah. Right. And most people have them both going top 10.
One thing about Evans is I don't think he's even come close to hitting his ceiling because he's just seems really raw. From everything I've read about him,
I think that's probably
really
true.
Just been at it.
I think Sammy Watkins might be the best player in the draft.
He could be. Now, Evans, though, in 2-3 years, like I said, if he hits his ceiling, that's scary stuff.
You can't teach 6'5 and whatever he weighs. He's a monster athlete.
Pretty fast, too.
Yeah, he is. But Watkins is so elusive. I think Watkins is a special guy that you don't see come along very often. I mean, he made Tosh Boyd, who's a pretty average quarterback, look awfully good through his career. So I thought Tosh was really good. It turned out he was extremely average. In addition to Randy Moss today, we'll talk to Michael Felder, get a little thought on some college football items of note. And then we've got some guests coming up in the final hour, including Nate Olson. Oh, actually, Nate's going to scratch today. He's got some other stuff going on.
Nate.
Yeah, we're going to change his name to Opportunity because he had to scratch today. Hmm. But we're going to talk to some folks from the Pleasant Ridge Town Center where we're going to be tonight from 5 to 7. It is our first Wednesdays Out West today for this month. Every Wednesday in May, we're going to be out there. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. Matthew Huff, who was in, is going to be playing tonight from 5 to 7. It's live music. It's free admission. We're going to have some giveaways at the event. We'll also have some silent auction items, and it'll be a cash bar, and that money goes, as well as the silent auction items, to the ALS Association of Arkansas. It's also ALS Awareness Month, so we are doing our small part, and we are looking forward to being out there on what should be a fairly nice night. Melinda told me it might be a little bit humid. I went over there this morning and talked about it a little bit, but it is going to be dry.
You know what's amazing is, what was it, a week and a half ago, and it was like a 2 weeks of spring. I think that's all we've had.
Yeah.
Last night was beautiful. It was about 83 degrees and a little breeze going through. And this is the time of year. If you're going to have something outside, get out and about, this is the time to do it.
We had a couple of surprises, at least for most of us, in the first couple games of the second round in the NBA. Last night it was by the book. Miami continuing to put the hammer down on people, even against a team that beat them 4 out of 4 times this year in the regular season. And then in the late game, it was a virtuoso performance by the best passing team in the NBA. Is that an overstatement, or do you think that's accurate?
I would say so. A team pass, yeah, certainly. Everybody on that team, they're willing passers. They understand game plans. We talked about how they're jab artists, not knockout artists.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes that jab, it's almost like Money Mayweather. They don't get hit. The way the San Antonio Spurs play. They're waiting for you to make a mistake, and they just capitalize. Next thing you look up, they're up 20.
Yeah.
Hey, jabs took Jermaine Taylor to the world championship.
There is no doubt, Wally, and they do have their lasting effect.
Said for that.
It is a cumulative effect.
We're in Oklahoma City. I see them as a knockout-type team.
Yeah, well, they better get some knockouts going. I will say this, the most knockout acceptance speech I think I've ever seen last night.
I watched MVP. I still got Jordan's as number one. But boy, that's a close second.
But Kevin Durant was actually sweet and heartfelt.
I cried 5 times.
I'm telling you,
5
times. When he called his, and we're going to play the speech if you missed it. I've got about a 6-minute clip of it. Because he went for 30 minutes off the cuff, from the heart, no notes, and was very, cohesive. That's hard to do. When you wing it, normally you leave something out. I did 3 minutes on TV this morning, and I do this for a living, and I forgot about 8 things I needed to say. So, I mean, the guy is incredible. The speech was amazing. He went teammate by teammate, and then he finished with giving his mom the props she deserved. It was incredible. And I'm sitting in my chair yesterday watching on my phone while watching the game. I'm watching the speech on my phone, and I'm crying. I mean, it was amazing, amazing speech.
It was good to see a guy that is on top of the world, an insight into just how much of a struggle it is. And not only that, you think of these athletes – of how macho they are and how you just think that they're dog-eat-dog world. And he let you inside that, you know what? He actually needs a guy like Caron Butler to scribble a note in his locker that says, you are the MVP.
KD MVP, yep.
I mean, you need a guy like Perk to call you at night. You're Kevin Durant. You need Perkins to call you at 2 in the morning to tell you, man, it's going to be okay. We got your back. Like, could you have fathomed I don't know, Jason Caffey doing that to Michael Jordan back in the day? I just can't, but it's just
Michael's
maybe Jordan
though.
Would never let you into that. I know they're two different animals, completely different animals, but it's just, it's quite a story, man.
The thing I love about Durant is he was the MVP this year. I still don't think he's the best player in the world. I mean, I think he's still number two behind LeBron, but he certainly was the MVP, had very deserving of the award. But it is hard to combine, especially in today's day and age, like you're saying, where the machismo has come to a point where it's almost embarrassing for most of these high-profile athletes. But the guy has an odd combination, and it is very rare these days, of incredible talent and confidence coupled with being humble and having some perspective. You do not see that very often. And I don't think LeBron is overly cocky for a guy that's done as much as he's done.
True.
But I also don't think he has the same kind of perspective and the humble factor that Durant
it
clearly
hit
has.
Him. Now here's my question. If you're Oklahoma City, this probably couldn't have come at a better time. You've taken incredible pressure for what he said of Russell Westbrook, took incredible pressure off Russell Westbrook from what he said publicly to everybody, took a lot of pressure off the coaching staff. Can this now get Oklahoma City? Does this touch a nerve? If you believe and there's something more powerful than just matchups on the floor, could this be something that brings Oklahoma City to a place where, hey, this has touched me so much, we can play a different kind of ball?
If it doesn't, they're not good enough.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great thing. You're right. That's a good point. I mean, and especially going teammate by teammate, everybody feels a part of it. I think that's got to bind your team further. They need to.
But he was talking about guys that just played three months with a team.
Yeah, or played 2-3 minutes a game. Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty special speech. Couple notes from last night. Heat win 107-86, not really a competitive game. Joe Johnson was the star for the Nets, if there was one. 3 of 6 from three, 17 points to lead the scores.
It's a sad series.
What happened
to
your boy Garnett? Garnett last night goes Roy Hibbert. 0 of 2. Mm-hmm. Why do you only play 16 minutes?
He's old.
Well, but I mean, 16 minutes for a starter, that's ridiculous in the NBA.
I'm sad.
That's rare. I don't know what. There must be something up with him. He only had a couple of fouls, too. I thought he might have foul trouble, but that was not the case. The Heat shoot 57% from the floor. That was a big issue as well. But
I don't think that the Brooklyn Nets are going to win this series at all.
Oh,
but,
really? Okay.
Okay, so let me just get
very
that out
profound.
There. I know, right? I'm going out on a limb. I will say this. Veteran team, they understand here is what we need to do. We got to get one of these two, right? We got to win one game. All they got to do is win one game in Miami. Take care of home, win one game in Miami. So I can see them being a veteran team and saying to themselves, we didn't get off to a good start tonight. Let's just cash this one in.
No doubt.
Let's focus on game two or game four or whatever. Five.
Did you see what Paul Pierce said? He said, we were down 3 at the half. We're fine. You know, we're okay. You know, and they feel like they're competitive, and certainly they beat them 4 times in the regular season. That's no fluke. They're not as good now. And the other thing is, too, we talk about it with college basketball teams. We never talk about it with the NBA. Who's playing well at the end of the season? That's what matters, in the same way it does in college. Indiana was a completely different team at the All-Star break than they are right now. Completely different team. Miami is a 10 times better team than they were at the All-Star break right now. And a lot of it has to do with Wade being healthy.
Oh, imagine that. Yeah, the only, barring a Dwayne Wade injury,
they're going to be hard to beat.
Yes, sir.
The other one, a couple of notes.
Who's got the best shot at him? San Antonio?
I still think it's San Antonio.
Or OKC?
The thing with OKC, and we see it, do we trust them? You know, we're talking now.
No, but they are problematic sometimes to themselves.
That's it. And KD said it. He's like, Russell, sometimes I want to just strangle you, choke you. Yeah. And he said, I know you want to choke me. And that's cool to hear, but it's also, you know, if you're the head coach, you're like, oh, boy. You know, it's like San Antonio's a well-oiled machine. You know what I mean? Oklahoma City is still figuring it out. That's the thing. One's been there, and one's still trying to get there.
Well, but Oklahoma City versus Miami, that's 3 versus 2. You got 3 great players in Miami, and you got 2 at Oklahoma City.
Yeah, it's true.
But you have, that can LeBron make up for 2 of theirs? That's the thing.
San Antonio got trashed Portland last night. However, Portland does have a couple things to build on. Aldridge is a monster, 32-14, by the way. Second of all, they won on the glass 47-45, and they were 26-31 at the line. They didn't score enough points to win the game. They're going to have to do better defensively, but they did do some good things. Meanwhile, the Spurs, we talked about the passing. How about 21 assists on 44 made baskets?
Wow.
Pretty impressive.
Unreal. How about 20 turnovers and 9 assists for the Portland Trailblazers?
Is that good?
You're an NBA team. I mean, what? Listen, imagine what we'd be saying if
many of those turnovers were steals.
If the Razorbacks had 20 turnovers and not, you can't win.
I've never seen that.
You can't win an NBA game. Like, you can't even
win a
church
high school game. No,
we would lose our pickup games on Tuesday if we did that.
We've done that, actually.
And the Spurs only had 2 steals.
Oh, God.
That's a good point. Now, that's just sloppy basketball. Yeah. We've seen a lot of that. Last but not least, Golden State firing Mark Jackson. Nobody's surprised by this, but it is disappointing, and I thought they made a great point last night on the TNT deal. It's just like Lionel Hollins. The guy clearly has done the job as the coach, but there's something else going on. But they made a great point. They said, don't come out in a statement, dum-dums. They didn't call them dum-dums, I will. And say, we're moving in a new direction. They're like, you're getting better every year.
Right.
You lost a 7-game series without your best player or one of your best players, and you took them to the brink against a really good team that might win the whole darn thing. You're moving the right direction, so don't say that. Say something else, but don't lie. That's clearly not the issue. You're going the right direction, and they like the guy. And he's going to have a job before next season, so it won't matter.
I'd love to know really what the background is on all that, because he had fired, obviously, Scalabrine reassigned him. He fired another assistant coach for recording conversations within the locker room.
Can't have that.
So that he could send the recordings back up to the top dogs of the Warriors.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that guy Ehrman.
Oh, he was taping him to basically spying on them to give it to the front office?
That's what was suspected.
That would be like you taping our conversation, then going downstairs to Steve and going, see what Justin did?
Well, basically, he listens to the show anyway, so I do have a bug. It's in your refrigerator, so be careful.
I don't want any bugs.
Tipping
in my
refrigerator. You off. Steve doesn't care what we say anyway.
Anyway, that's bizarre.
But guess who just hired him? Celtics director of scouting. Come on, Brad Stevens. Trying to help you out here, hiring some spy.
Oh, they hired that guy?
They hired him.
Well, you know he'll do whatever. I mean, I'm going to hire. I want to hire Patino's strength and conditioning coach too. Kevin Durant speech later in the show today. I got to share with you because it's not the whole thing. I think it's really most of the highlights. But the guy was unbelievable. I mean, it really was a very impressive speech. And if it doesn't bring a tear to your eye, you're a terrible human being.
I can remember when Disco Dirk got his, he cried too. Him and Cuban cried.
I couldn't understand him though. That German accent, I can't make it out.
He was drinking a big, huge beer. I don't know
I
what
guarantee
it was.
You.
Are his teeth wooden?
Disco Dirk?
Yes, he's George Washington's long lost cousin. I've never heard anybody say that before. He does have odd looking teeth. He's a big dude.
I think they're wood.
Okay, I'll go with that. He's got that wood. Coming up, we're going to talk about water instead. How about that?
You know what? Me and Wally were just talking about dog days of summer. Wally, greatest acceptance speeches of all time. That's coming up in the near future.
That's a good one. I like
July.
That idea. Yeah, July. I don't know if we'll bracket it up or not, but National Drinking Water Week is this week. We're going to talk about it with Central Arkansas Water. I didn't even know they had a week. Big fan.
Shouldn't that happen all the time? I'm a big fan of water.
I've been a much bigger fan of water the last 3 weeks, I can tell you that much. God. I drank about 7 gallons yesterday.
Well, it couldn't have come at a better time considering how many folks down there in Valonia and Mayflower and El Paso need that fresh water. Landers Ford, this segment has been brought to you by our friends at Landers Ford. That's exit 1.